I would ask you to take the time to read the whole chapter at your leisure, because here is something that David is going through when he begins in verse 1. He says there, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." Why? Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. And he goes on, "For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me." And he goes on talking about all of this through the context. And then in verse 22, he makes this statement, this profound statement that is echoed in the New Testament in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." So cast your burden upon the Lord. Now, cast means to throw. Kind of the image I get of that is I go to the dump and I take my garbage and I throw it into the dump. I don't want it anymore. And that's what the burdens you have in your life are like, garbage. And as long as you hold on to it, we don't take our garbage and keep it and store it up. We get rid of it. And if you go to the dump and put it in the back of your truck, you cast it out of there. And that's the picture I'm getting here when I read this today, and I started thinking about that last time I went to the dump, what I did with my trash. I mean, I just picked it up and threw it in there. I didn't delicately pick it up and drop it in there. I mean, I picked it up and slung it, got rid of it. And so that's what we ought to do with our burdens, whatever it might be. Now, the burdens in the context here is an awful lot what this man is going through, because he's going through a lot of persecution and hate. The enemy is against him. And more we see where Christians are getting under attack. And it's coming from all different venues. It's not something that's going to stop. It's going to keep on going. As far as I'm concerned, I can see that happening. They're not going to change. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, you're familiar with that one, as well as you are, I think, with this one here, because I've taught on this over and over the years. I mean, it's something you ought to teach on at least once a year, maybe twice, I don't know. How many times do you go somewhere and read about this? How many times do you stop and think, well, just cast that care on the Lord. Get rid of it. Or how many times do you try to hold on to it and God has to rebuke you or correct you? Why don't you just get rid of it? Why don't you take it to the garbage dump? But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he says here in the context, of course, "Humbling yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Well, God cannot lift you up if you don't get rid of your burdens or cares. So he says, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. And then he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now, how can the devil get into our life and devour us? Well, one way he can get in there is by the fact that you allow yourself to be full of care all the time and your burdens. So what I want to talk about tonight is the defeat of worry. I think it's time to defeat it. I'm tired of it. And so when you look back into the context of Psalm 55, he has cast your burden. Burden is something, and you look the word up, it means something that's given to you. Your lot. So see, God is involved in some of the things we go through, and God allows these troubles to come into our life for whatever reason, because God is working for our good. But at the same time, we have a promise that tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, don't let any temptation be overtaken you. No temptation is taking you but such as common to man. This is a very common problem that we have. We like to worry. How many of you worry? You have?
I have.
Past tense.
Positive confession.
Oh, positive confession. Okay. See, I changed. But we all go through that particular cycle in our life. You know, it's different for all of us, but there's something that we all find ourselves weighed down or burdened about and caring about. So it's your portion. And God has given that to you. But just like David said, cast your burden on the Lord. And just like Peter said here, and Peter went through a lot too. We know about his persecution he went through and about his difficulties and hardships. But casting your care upon the Lord is the same thing as casting your burden upon the Lord. And we have a promise in Psalms 37 and verse 24, in the cold context of Psalms 37, if you remember that. The steps of a good man, verse 23, are ordered of the Lord, ordained of the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with his right hand. Now, whose side is the Lord on? He's on our side. And so God is for us. He's not against us. And so when you look at this thing of casting your care upon the Lord, the word for care there is merimnano, is a Greek word, which means basically a person who's distracted. Something gets in his life that distracts him. You get your attention off of what you're supposed to focus on. You know, if you ever go into the store, you got a list of things, and you get distracted, you start talking to somebody, and you say, well, I got to get going, and then you start going, and you forgot your list, you just set it down, and now you're looking, and you think, well, I got to get my list out, because I got to remember what I got to get. And so you got to look for your list again. You know, you get distracted so easily. I get distracted really easily sometimes. I'd be going to Ashland with my mind to go to the post office, go right by it. And I think, my goodness, what is wrong with you? My mind's on something else. So something distracted me. Probably that New York car in front of me that was not driving very right. And I was probably murmuring, complaining, which God was trying to rebuke me, quit complaining. But this is a whole concept. The word merimnano is from the Greek word merizo, which is basically, it's a concept of distraction or pressure that can be upon you. Now, God uses pressure to make and mold us. And that's what God is doing in all of our lives, because he wants to take us and we're in his hands, and he wants to mold us and make us into his image. And so that's what happens. I mean, this is where we live in a stressful world. Right now, people are very stressed out about all that's going on with North Korea and that maniac over there. And everything that's being said is going on because there's a very serious time to be living in. It reminds me back when John F. Kennedy was president and the problem we had over there in Cuba, the missile crisis. I mean, the world was really bothered by that. And rightly so. Because some of these people are out to destroy the United States. I mean, just like David was saying there in Psalms 55, they hate me. They devise evil against me. They want to destroy me. And that's for all of us, the way we live. I mean, the electrical grid is a potential of something that can be torn out. And that's what they want to do, because that will throw us back over 100 years. Can you imagine living without any air conditioning? I know some of you can. But that's not an easy thing sometimes when you're used to it. So we're used to the easy life. Used to being able to cut on our light switches, being able to cut on the stove, cut on the heat, cut on the air conditioner, whatever we want. It's just right there at our touch. But then all of a sudden it's gone. Now what are you going to do? You got to get a fan out, I guess, and wave it at yourself. Well, that's what you married your wife for, is get her a fan. So you sit over there by me and sit on a stool and wave it. Keep me cool. Now, don't you husbands go home and do that. Mr. Moore's already got that on his mind. So beware if he invites you ladies up there for dinner, because that's what he wants you to do. He's after you. Wants you to be his fan. George Mueller said this, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. So when anxiety begins or worry begins, faith is gone. But the opposite is true also, because the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. So you get to make a choice. And Corey Ten Boom said, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. And the Bible tells us take one day at a time. So what we're doing by doing that, we're moving in tomorrow ahead of time. We're getting ourselves in trouble. So worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties the day of its strength. Corey Ten Boom. And that's what happens. We lose our strength and our ability to fight the enemy when we allow this anxiety to begin to get into our life. One has said one time that worry is like a rocking chair. It will get you something, give you something to do, but it'll get you nowhere. You just sit there and rock all day long. But you're getting nowhere because that's what your mind is doing. It's going back and forth, back and forth. You're just worrying. Worry is like a fast getaway on a wooden horse. How fast are you going to get away on that? You going to pretend? It's not going to happen, folks. So we're right back to the problem here, that stress and the pressure that comes into all of our lives. And so when we look at the concept of distraction, how much distraction is in your life? It doesn't take much. Just get a bill in the mail that you weren't expecting. I mean, just a bill. I'm not talking about a dollar bill. I'm talking about a bill from the electric company. Bill from the phone company, cell phones, whatever. A bill from something that you thought, forgot that you charged. And it comes in at the wrong time. You said, I don't need that this month. I need that 2 months later. Well, you got it now, and so you got to deal with that. And that thing, it can begin to distract you right away when something like that happens in your life. Because you begin to think, how am I going to get through this? Well, worry is not going to pay your bills. If worry would pay our bills, we'd be rich. I mean, it's just, that just doesn't, that capital word does not get us anywhere. It just gets us in more trouble and more stress in our life. So this is basically a picture of a man who's influenced by this whole concept of worry in his life. He doesn't seem to be able to defeat it because it's always coming at times unexpected. And who's behind it? We know the devil's behind that he's stirring up things because he wants us to be distracted, to get our attention off of God. I've often said, you know, I go to the post office every day, and it's amazing. A lot of times when you go on Wednesday, of all days, it seems like all the subscriptions of magazines I order come in on Wednesday. That distracts me. And I've got to be very careful. I've got to sit them aside. My wife come in there and say, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading a magazine. Well, you know, it's something that happens to you. It's easy to happen. You can't tell me not a woman in here that you don't get a Lands End in or L.L. Bean that you don't sit down and look through it. Come on now. Maybe it's another magazine then. But you start looking through it, paging through it. Or some men get these magazines in for guns and bullets and shooting. And boy, you'll start going through that thing right away. I mean, salivating, looking through that. I mean, it's a distraction. That's all it is. And it's always right when you're reading the Word of God or you're seeking the Lord about something that these things seem to come about, or there's something that just wants to take your mind off of the victory that God has given you already. So how many people suffer with various different kinds of pressures, stress, worry? Too heavy for them. You take finances. Finances can be a big thing. I mean, the love of money is the root of all evil. But you know what? If without money, we wouldn't be able to survive because, like I said, worry doesn't pay the bills. You have to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge Him and trust Him to provide your need. Philippians 4:19 said, my God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But guess what? Those are promises. But guess what? They're conditions. Now, there's the part that you've got to meet. God's already met His part. He says, I'll take care of it. But then you got to believe. But we always seem to struggle through that belief part. really getting down to the point that we're able to accept the fact that God will provide that need. We don't know where it's going to come from or how it's going to come, but he promises to take care of it. The question is, are we willing to give it to him? Because we're always trying to do it on our own. You know, we have an independence in us that sometimes becomes a curse to us. We try to do it on our own. And it gets us in a lot of trouble. It only brings more stress and more worry. How many people are suffering through health issues? People going through physical trials, mental trials, mind battles. I mean, just something that is affecting your whole view of life. It's something that's on your mind. It seems to be holding you back and is trouble in your life, and you know it. How many of you are having maybe some issues with your children? Okay. How many of you having, well, some of you are going to start having some issues with your teenagers because they're getting older. The older they get, the more issues are going to come up. I'm not pronouncing anything. I'm just saying it's life. Children change. Teenagers change. Their views change. There are things in their life that they want and desire. You wait till that boyfriend comes in that knocks on the door and says, I'd like to see your daughter. Anxiety is going to overtake you like a mountain. You wait till that happens. Or wait till the girl starts saying, Daddy, I got a boy called me, wants to take me out one night. Can I go out? Uh-oh. What's going to be your answer? First of all, where are you going? How long are you going to be? What time is he going to pick you up? And I want to meet him and talk to him first. Then you got stress now. Because Daddy's going to have a talk with him. See, all this is part of life, though, folks. It's something we have to do as parents. Certainly, you have to grow up and you have to learn to make the right decisions and right choices and to be discerning of your choices. But if you make wrong choices, you're going to pay the consequences sooner or later. But how many people may be going through some kind of domestic problems? I mean, you know, your families, husbands and wives. Sometimes there are issues there. I mean, you think marriage is a cure-all? No, it's not. There's always something that comes up, always some kind of issue or controversy or disagreement that you find yourself in. And then you find yourself mulling over that and thinking about it, and before you know it, you're anxious. You lost your peace. You have no joy. Why? Because somebody robbed it from you. The devil used that circumstance and that anxiety to distract you. That's what he wants to do. Because in that, he can bring you down if he wants to. So the whole idea is of distraction. This is a mental word. The word anxiety. It means somebody whose mind is being distracted or divided. One of the things behind distraction is dividing the mind. You know, this old saying, you divide and you conquer. The devil knows that strategy as well as anybody. If I can divide their mind, I mean, was it Elijah said, how long will I halt between two opinions? How long are you going to be going back and forth about this? Doesn't it say in James 1 about verse 5 and 6 about a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways? Unstable means a man is not really just steady. He's unstable. He's not sure. Because there's something distracting him. He's wondering how this is going to be solved. How's it going to work? You know, we talk about miracles, but then the people wonder, well, how's this going to happen? It's not for you to ask that question. The only thing for you to do is simply lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God. Because God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, any way he wants. That's God. And we have to relinquish everything over to him. We're not very good at doing that, and that's why I'm saying this has got to be the defeat of this thing. This has got to get out of our life. And so what we get is a picture here of our whole life. I mean, I've said this so many times. I mean, put this big old round face up here with a couple eyeballs. And over here we have God, and over here we have the devil. And what are they both doing? They're both trying to talk to us. Okay, there's my man. Now, who's talking to you? Who are you listening to? Because God is trying to tell you, this is the way, walk you in it. This is what I said I would do, Philippians 4:19. I will supply your need. I will heal your body. I will lead you and I will guide you. I will give you peace. I will be with you to the ends of the ages. But what do? We start listening to other things. We read things, watch things, talk to people. And before you know it, something is said. It triggers something in our mind. And before you know it, there's anxiety and it's triggered. I mean, all you got to do is hear about, you know, how many of you watch news? Well, nobody watches news here. Got a bunch of liars in the church, huh? Nobody watches news? You don't listen to news?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then if you listen to that long enough, it'll distract you. Because you start hearing all that's going on. And the fear-mongering that's there. And you know, there's something about that that they like that because it's something that they want to make sensational. And so they will blow it up way out of proportion.